2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, speaking to you this morning about we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. Follow in your Bibles as we read, beginning in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's pray. Father, we rejoice today that we are, as Christians, ambassadors for Christ. We confess that sometimes we forget about that role that we have to play, because, Lord, we sometimes just forget about our mission here. We get so involved in daily activities that we sometimes neglect our responsibilities. Help us to be reminded of those today. And then if there's someone here who has not trusted Jesus as their Savior, we pray that today would be the day that they realize what Jesus did for them, how he died to reconcile them, and I pray that today they would be reconciled to you through faith in Jesus. We know, Lord, that everyone here has needs. We all walk in different shoes. We experience different things. And we know that the Word of God can help meet those needs. And so I pray that today you would use the Word in a way that would be effective in each person's life. Give enablement to bring the message, get glory for yourself, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. On the evening of September the 11th, 2012, the United States Consulate building in Benghazi, Libya, came under attack by Islamic terrorists. The attack continued for 6 hours, and by the early morning hours of September the 12th, four Americans were dead. U.S. Ambassador Chris Stevens, Sean Smith, Glenn Daugherty, Tyrone Woods, these men were dead. Ambassador Stevens had warned that security at the consulate was not adequate. And on the morning of September the 11th, he sent a cable to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, warning that the Libyan militia, in his words, would not continue to guarantee security in Benghazi. He warned, again in his words, of expanding Islamic influence in Derna and a troubling increase in violence. He wrote this: "What we have seen are not random crimes of opportunity, but rather targeted and discriminate attacks. Attackers are unlikely to be deterred until authorities are at least as capable." Even though this warning was received before the attack and Washington knew of the attack, no help in time was sent to save those four American brave men. This slow response to our ambassador's dilemma is disturbing to us, to say the least. But when our government tried to blame it on a video that portrayed Muhammad in a negative way, even though they knew that it was an organized terrorist attack, that is inexcusable. Now, this sad incident involving our United States ambassador reminds us of the fact that we as Christians are ambassadors for Christ. We are representatives of heaven to a world which the Scripture says lies in wickedness. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. The Lord says the world we live in hates God and it hates us. John 15, verses 18 and 19. The Scripture says the world we live in is blinded by Satan, who is the god of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 4. So in reality, we can say that we are ambassadors to enemy territory. Now, that might sound frightening, but when we consider the facts about our ambassadorship, we should be honored that God would call us and give us the responsibility to this world to be His ambassador. And we should also take this responsibility with confidence, because the Lord says that He will always provide our needs, and He says He will never leave us unprotected. Now this morning I want us to talk about our ambassadorship, some things about us being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. We're going to get most of it from the passage we've read this morning. But beginning, the first thing is this: the retrospection of Christ's ambassadors. Now you say, well, that's a big word. Well, we know when we say, in retrospect, we know that we mean we're looking back. Well, that's what verse 17 does. Notice what it says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. Every one of us who know Jesus today as our Savior have that portion of our life. We have the B.C. portion of our life, before Christ. We know that before Christ, we had certain things about us that were pretty bad. And so there's something about our retrospect as we look back on our past. To be an ambassador for the U.S., you must have qualifications that earns you the position or the privilege of being an ambassador. You will not be appointed as an ambassador unless you have proved yourself with certain qualifications. God's ambassadors, though, are different. We do not earn anything. We do not prove to someone that we have been good enough or qualified so that we can become an ambassador of Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible says before we were ambassadors, immediately before we were ambassadors, we were dead in sins. That's what verse 14 tells us of this same passage. For the love of Christ constrained us thus, because we thus judged that if one died, then we're all dead. And the Bible says we were all dead. We were all dead in sin. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We also followed the enemy. God's enemy is the devil. So here we're going to be an ambassador. But the moment, right before we were an ambassador, we were an enemy of Christ. Can you imagine that? To change from an enemy to an ambassador immediately. But that's what happened. So we didn't qualify ourselves to be ambassadors. The Bible also says that we deserve God's wrath. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, we followed the enemy and we were children of wrath even as others. We deserved the wrath of God. So we deserved to be zapped by God, you might say, judged by God. But instead of that, He made us an ambassador. That's amazing. But when we think of our past, we look in retrospect to the past, we know that we did not earn this right to be an ambassador. Well, how did it come about? Well, the Lord talks about not just the retrospection of the ambassador, but also the reconciliation of Christ's ambassadors. You see, God is the one who reconciles us to Himself. All of us know that an enemy of the United States cannot be an ambassador for the United States. At least they shouldn't be. But an enemy of the United States should not be an ambassador for the United States. And so it is with God's ambassadors. They must cease to be God's enemies before they can be God's ambassadors. The problem we have, though, is we don't have any way to do that. How can we cease to be God's enemies and become His ambassadors? We are sinful. We are sinners apart from God. We're rebels against God. And we have no qualifications to be the ambassador. But the Lord says He has done something for us that we could not do for ourselves. And that is, He has reconciled us. Now let's notice what the Lord has to say about this. First of all, God reconciled the world to Himself in Christ. Verse 19 puts it like this: to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Now, let's look back in the past, not our past, but even further back than that, all the way back to the cross of Calvary. What was happening on the cross of Calvary was God knew that everybody on the earth was separated from Him because of their sins. We're rebels. We're apart from the Lord. We don't deserve to be His servants. And God knew that we couldn't do anything about that. We couldn't pay for our sin except going to hell, and that would be eternity, so it would never get paid for. And so God knew that if anything was going to be done for these people on this earth, He was going to have to do it. And so at the cross, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Now we know that God in His mind, before that actually happened, God knew what was going to happen. The Bible says that Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. That means even before God made the world, He knew what He was going to do when man sinned. So in God's mind, He knew what Christ was going to do. And so you could say this, God really never turned His back on man. Because God knew what He was going to do. And God was ready and willing and able to forgive, but it was up to man. But let's look back at the cross. Let's say the cross was over here, way in the past. And Jesus Christ is hanging on the cross. What had happened, as far as we're concerned, is that God made us, we were born, and came into this earth, but not long after we came into this earth, we started sinning. And if you could picture it like this, as we sin, we close the door. The moment we started sinning, we said to God, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do this anyway, and we shut the door. We went a little bit further and we did something else. Maybe we told a lie, we shut a door. Went this a little bit further, and then maybe we stole something. Maybe you stole a pencil at school or something like that, and you shut another door. Then you went a little further, and you deceived your mom and dad, and you lied to them, and you shut another door. You went a little bit further, and maybe you committed adultery, or you had an adulterous thought, and you shut another door. And all of our life, we've been shutting doors between us and God. Sin, 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 sin stands a barrier between us and God. Now, God knew that we couldn't open those doors. Because we can't take care of the sin. We can't remove the sin. So on the cross of Calvary, what Jesus did was, He said, Father, I will take all of those closed doors. I'll take all those sins and You put them on Me. Your holiness demands they be paid for. And so I want to pay the punishment. And so I'll take it all on Me. And on the cross of Calvary, Jesus on the cross had the sin of the world laid on Himself. And He died in our place. He suffered for us. He died for our sins. And He was saying this, God says, I am reconciled because of what Jesus did. And God says this, I opened up all the doors. I opened up all the doors. The sins taken care of. I paid for it. It's all paid for. And so God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. And God is like this. He says, come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I am reconciled. Jesus died for your sins. Now the problem is, what about you? And He says to us, all the doors are open as far as God's concerned. Now how about the door of your heart? Will you accept what Jesus did? And that's where we stand. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sin's all paid for. But the Lord says in order for you to get the benefits of that, you must accept Christ. You must believe that message and that He died for your sins and He was buried and He rose again the third day and that it's all paid for. And you must say to God, God, I want to be reconciled to You. But what do? Many times people do. They hear that message, God is reconciled, Jesus died for you. But they don't want to turn back to God, they just want to keep on going in their sin. And they keep on going down this road of sin in a rebellion against God. And God is saying, be reconciled unto Me, but they won't. I remember the day when I did this. I turned around and said, thank You, Lord. Thank You for saving me, and I want You to be my Savior. And I accepted Him. Do you remember that day? Has that happened in your life? Has there been a time when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You see, the reconciliation of Christ's ambassadors takes place when a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says in verse 20, be ye reconciled to God. You see, when you're reconciled to God, when you turn around and accept Jesus and believe on Him and call out to Him to save you, the Lord says, I've been waiting. My arms have been open. I'm reconciled because of what Jesus did. And since you accepted Him, I take you as My very own. Now you're reconciled to Me. And when that happens, we have forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 1 says, He gives us forgiveness. we also have eternal life. John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We also are made a son of God. John 1:11-12. He came into His own. His own received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So we're forgiven. We're given eternal life. We're made a child of God. And then we're given His righteousness. And the Scripture says in the verse we read just a while ago, verse 21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." And God gives us His righteousness. It's applied to our account. So we're accepted because of Jesus. You see, God's ambassadors have been reconciled to Him. And if you want to be God's ambassador, today you might be a rebel. But you can walk out that door, change from a rebel to an ambassador. And it's because of what Jesus did for you. You can trust Him as your Savior. Now we know this, that I think most nations, if not all, require, if they have an ambassador that's going to be their ambassador to another country, their ambassador has to be a citizen of their country. I mean, you have to be a citizen of the United States to be an ambassador, official ambassador for the United States. And the Bible says that we, before we trust Jesus, we're not citizens of heaven. But the Lord says when we trust Jesus, we become citizens of heaven. And so our citizenship is in heaven. And God says, I'm going to send a citizen from heaven to this world, of heaven, to this world to be my ambassador. And so God reconciles us to Himself and makes us His ambassador. Now let's talk about the responsibility of Christ's ambassador. What's their responsibility? In verse 20 it says, we come to the world with a message. We come to the world with a message from heaven. Notice how it reads. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as the God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. You who know Christ as Savior are an ambassador of Jesus. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. You don't say, well, I've been saved a good while, maybe now God will make me an ambassador. No, you are an ambassador. So you are. Now, what are you supposed to do? What's your responsibility as an ambassador? Well, notice he says in verse 20, he says, you're ambassador for Christ. That means you represent Him. That's one of your responsibilities. You represent Christ. You're an ambassador for Christ. And an ambassador of the United States represents the United States. So we're an ambassador for Christ. We represent Christ. Wherever you go, wherever you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You represent Him. We're ambassadors at all times. 24/7. Not just when you come to church. But when you leave and wherever you are, 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you are ambassador for Jesus Christ. That means it matters. It matters how you act everywhere. It matters how you look everywhere. It matters how you talk. It matters how you treat others. It matters because you are always representing heaven. We are always representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's why I think that Christians should have a certain class about them. Why? Because we're ambassadors. I mean, sure, we're down here in this world. We rub elbows with other people all around us. And sometimes we sort of fit in with what they're doing and things like that. But even when we are with some people who are not saved, they should know there's a difference with this person. I mean, there's a difference in them. They have class about them. They must represent somebody. And we do. We represent Jesus. We're ambassadors for Christ. Well, so we represent God. Another thing we have, another responsibility, is we have a message. And that's what ambassadors do, you know. Ambassadors go to another country to represent their leader and from their country. They represent them, and they usually have a message. And if there's a diplomacy thing going on, there's a problem they're dealing with in that other country, then they get back with their leader to find out what they want to say, or he has to say about it, or they have to say about it. They want to know what they're supposed to tell them. They don't go on their own. They have to know what the message is. And the Lord says, that's the way we are. We're ambassadors for Christ and we have a message to proclaim. That message is in verse 19. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The word. The word of reconciliation, the message of reconciliation. All of us, whether you can explain it like I just did a while ago, you know it to be true. And you can tell it in some way. You can say, I know this. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. I know he paid it all. And I know he rose from the grave. And you can explain that. You tell them the gospel. That's your message. The message of the ambassador is to tell about the reconciliation that God accomplished on the cross of Calvary through Jesus Christ. That's our message. We tell about the cross. We tell about the reconciliation. It's a message about Christ and his work and what he did to reconcile us. We don't give our opinions. You know, some people say, well, you know, the way I look at it is, I read just yesterday about someone you probably you know of who converted to a particular religion, and they were telling about the reasons why they did and had nothing to do with the Bible. It's the way they felt and how they were in awe by all of this ceremony and all of this. And they thought this particular person was so sincere and said nothing about what God's Word says. You see, our criteria is the Word of God. And so we're not giving our opinions. We're giving a message from God. And so when you're talking about Jesus, you don't tell people your opinion about that. You tell them the message that God gives. And that is the message about Jesus and what he did for you. So we have a message to proclaim. Another part of our responsibility is that as an ambassador, we need to stay in constant contact with heaven. Now, what would you have thought of Ambassador Stevens if you found out after he died that terrible death? You found out that for the last 6 months, the White House and Washington has been trying to get a hold of him, but he refuses to answer. He hasn't stayed in contact. Well, that did not happen. He was in contact. But if you'd have found out that he hadn't been in contact, even though he could have, you would have said he wasn't a good ambassador. Well, we're our ambassadors of Christ. And it's our responsibility to be in contact with heaven. You see, we are citizens of heaven sent by God to be an ambassador of heaven. And we therefore need to have contact with heaven. How do we do that? We do it through God's Word. We do it through God's Word. This is the book that tells us about our commission. It tells us about what we're supposed to do. We just read it. It tells us about our ambassadorship. This is the book that explains that to us. This is the book that tells us about our rules of conduct. It tells how ambassadors are to act. It tells how Christians are to act, how we're to treat each other, how we're to treat other people, how we are to perform in this world, and what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. It tells us that. It gives our rules of conduct. And how can we know how to be a good ambassador if we don't read his word? It also tells of our coming inspection. It tells that there's a day coming when we're going to stand before the one who sent us. And we're going to give an account of all that we've done. It tells us about that. It also tells us about God's exit strategy for us. You know, God has an exit strategy. It's one of two things. You either go by death or you go by rapture. Now, if you know Jesus as your Savior and you've studied the Bible, you know that to be true. You can tell people that you're representing Jesus too. You can tell them, you know, someday I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be here to be an ambassador of Jesus and tell you about him. Someday I'm going to go. How are you going to go? You can say, well, there's two ways. According to the Bible, I'm either going to go by death or I'm going to go by rapture. And that's true. That's simple, but it's true. You're either going to go by death or you're going to go by rapture. You're going to either come to the end of your life, you're going to breathe your last breath, and they're going to put your body in a grave. You'll go by death, or you will be here when Jesus comes, and you'll go by rapture. And if somebody was there watching, they might see a clump of clothes on the ground that you used to wear, but now you have different apparel, and now you've gone. Your body has been changed and been taken out of here. You've gone by the rapture. Well, the Bible tells us about that. And so we need to be in contact with heaven by reading the instruction book, which is the Word of God. We also need to be in contact with heaven by prayer. You see, God wants us to pray. And God wants us to tell Him our needs. And we are to be in contact with heaven by prayer. And so God wants us to know that He has instructions for us. And He wants us to properly represent Him. So we have to be in contact with the Lord. But then there's another way another thing of our part of our responsibility, and that is we must work in harmony with others who represent heaven. You see, I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ, but I'm not ambassador class A, and some of you ambassador class B. No, we're all ambassadors. No different classes. We're all ambassadors. So, Brother Howard this morning played the trumpet. I can't play the trumpet. And so he can do something I can't do, as far as that goes. But I'm an ambassador, and Howard's an ambassador. Do you know that Howard is married to an ambassador? He is. He's married to Georgia, who is also an ambassador. You see, we are all ambassadors for Christ. And the Lord says we are to work together. And so ambassadors have a relationship that we can work together. I want to show you this from the Scripture. Look at verse 18. To wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespass. I'm sorry, that's verse 19. Verse 18. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Us. He's reconciled us. Not that Paul just doesn't say Him, but he says us. We've all been reconciled, those who know Christ. Verse 20, he says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Chapter 6, verse 1, we then as workers together with Him. We are workers together with Him. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. We're in this together, he says, let us cleanse ourselves. Look over in chapter 13 of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 13, verse 11. And he says this, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind. He said, be of one mind. Y'all work together, he says. We are ambassadors together. And therefore, Hebrews tells us to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. We find that in Hebrews chapter 10. And the Lord says in verse 24, in Hebrews 10:24, he says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but encouraging and exhorting one another. You see, the Lord says we are to work together. And so that's part of our responsibility. I read an interesting portion of a message, and I want to share it with you this morning. Messages by William Sangster. William Sangster was a man who lived from 1900 to 1960, I believe. So he preached in the early part of the last century. And he preached during World War II in London. And he, in his book, rather in a message he preached on ambassadors for Christ, said this. He was talking about Lord Templeton, who was the British ambassador to Spain. And history tells us that Lord Templeton was the one who was an ambassador to Spain and actually helped Spain make the decision not to go with the evil powers, but to stay with us. They could have gone with the Nazis and Japan, but they didn't. They could have gone with the Axis powers, but they didn't. And the reason was because Lord Templeton was a good ambassador and he talked them into taking the right position. It said this of Lord Templeton. In this message that Sangster preached, he said this, but Lord Templeton said that if an ambassador stays too long in the country to which he is accredited, that is to say, if he does not make fairly frequent visits to his own land, and breathe his own native air, he gets denationalized. That was his term. Notice what he said, what it goes on to say. The process can go on, it seems, without the ambassador being fully aware of it. When he first arrives on his mission, he is British or American through and through. To the discerning eye, made in England or made in America is written all over his face. He sees things his own way, assesses them from his own standpoint, is able, even in a land of dictators, to see things always from a democratic angle. But half unconsciously, there supervenes a cosmopolitan way of looking at things. The atmosphere of the alien land gets into his lungs. Whenever he goes out, he meets people of that land. Whenever he talks, he hears the viewpoint of those people expressed. Bit by bit and almost imperceptibly at first, his attitude is affected. It begins to change. From British or American, it becomes cosmopolitan, pro-Spanish or Italian or Brazilian, whatever the country may be. The problem of every ambassador, he says, if he is to remain loyal to his commission, is to be true all the time to his prime allegiance. And Lord Templeton says that if he is to do that, he must, in his words, renew his strength by contact with his native soil. Breathe his own atmosphere, talk with his own kind, and get truly oriented again from the center. And how true that is of the Christian. No man or woman can hope to be a dependable ambassador of Jesus Christ unless he or she maintains his prime allegiance. The alien world in which we live affects us all. We are in it nearly all the time. Its judgments affect us. Its atmosphere penetrates us. Its pressure bear on us in 10,000 ways. How easily, without realizing it, do we become what the apostle calls conformed to this world? How easily we accept a lower standard, take to saying, well, I see no harm in it. Lose the sharp distinction between right and wrong. Have all our blacks and whites dissolve into an indeterminable gray. Keep up the pretense of being ambassadors by preserving one or two Christian customs, but for the rest, we are unworthy, quite definitely not true to our ambassadorial status. Something of a failure, a casualty of the diplomatic service. Is that true of you? Dare you say with Paul, I am an ambassador for Christ? You must get back whenever you can to your own atmosphere. You must mingle at every opportunity with your own crowd and your own kind. Be found often in the sanctuary. Count Sunday to Sunday too long in the atmosphere of the world and seek a meeting of fellowship or prayer in the midweek. You see, so many times we become so accustomed to the world that we become like it. And we don't really want to be very often with those who are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. The Lord wants us to be His ambassadors. And in order to do that, we need to stay in constant contact, not just with heaven, but with the fellowship of the believers and be with them and love them and work together. Another responsibility we have is we must be prepared to give an account of our ambassadorship. You see, the Lord tells us in this same passage, chapter 5, verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That every man may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to give an account. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, every man's work shall be made manifest. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5, it says, the Lord will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. Now, many of us can probably say, well, I don't do those bad things. I don't commit those sins. People can't really say, well, he does this or he does that. Maybe you have a pretty good life. But the Lord says he will also bring to light the counsels of your heart. That's what I don't see. And that's what you don't see. You don't see that in me. I don't see that in you. But God does. And God says you're an ambassador. And thus doesn't matter what you do, it also matters what you think. And the counsels of your heart will be brought before the Lord, opened up. He'll make those things light, and He'll make that manifest in that day. So as our responsibility includes this, we're preparing for an examination. And that is, we're going to stand before the one who sent us to be the ambassador, and we're going to give an account to him. Now, what are the resources of Christ's ambassadors? Well, let me give you just a few. First of all, we have God's provisions. You see, God will take care of us. I'm told that ambassadors are always assured that we will meet your needs. Your country will meet your needs. They'll take care of you. They won't let you go over there and starve. We'll make sure that all your provisions are met. And the Lord does that. He says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, "My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." He'll give you strength. He'll give you supply. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you guidance. He'll give you constant contact with the Lord in prayer and His Word. He'll give you what you need. Also, we have God's, not only His provision, we also have God's presence. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, He says, "He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So the Lord says, "I'll be with you always." Now, U.S. ambassadors cannot claim that. They can't say, "The president will always be with me." They can't say, "The Congress back there will always be with me." They can't say, "The American people will always be with me." They can't say that in any way, but the Lord says, you might not say that your church members will always be with you, but the Lord says, "I'll guarantee you this. When you're out there representing me, wherever it might be, home, at work, at play, at school, whatever it might be, the Lord says, I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. I'll always be by your side." And that's true. In fact, He's so close to us, He says He lives inside of us. He's always with us. So the Lord says, "I'll give you my presence." And then the Lord also says, "I'll give you my protection." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6 says, "The Lord is my help and my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Psalm 34, verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around about those that fear Him and delivers them." So the Lord says, "I'll give you my provisions, I'll give you my presence, and I'll give you my protection. I'll always be there, and I will protect you." So that's our resources. And then what's our reward as God's ambassadors? Well, it's found in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, back in verse 8. Notice what it says. Verses 8 and 9. "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." Some translations translate that, and that the word "accepted" actually means this, and that is that we may be well-pleasing unto Him. That He would look at us and say, "I like that. I like the way you serve. You're well-pleasing unto me." Remember, that's what the Lord said to those who had the talents that He gave them and they used them wisely. He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. But well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's the reward of the ambassador. Someday for us to be able to stand before the Lord and Him to say, "Well done." You see, my friend, someday our Savior, King Jesus, will say our ambassadorship is complete down here. And He will say, "Come on home." And when we do, when we see Him, we will immediately be reminded of our ambassadorship. Because our ambassadorship, the Lord says, "You represent me, and you represent me with a message." And the message is, tell them that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And when we see Jesus, one of the first things we'll be reminded of is our ambassadorship. Why? Because when we see Him, the Scripture says, we'll see the evidence of the cross. You remember what Thomas said? He said, "I won't believe until I see, if I take my finger and thrust it into the prints of the nails in His hand, and I take my hand and put it in the place where they put the sword in His side." And the glorified Christ met Thomas another time when Thomas was there in the midst with the disciples. And He said, "Thomas, come here. Put your finger in my hand there. Thrust your hand in my side. Be not faithless, but believe." And Thomas said, "My Lord." And he believed. The Lord says that someday we will see Jesus. In the book of Revelation, it says of Him in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, It says we see him in the midst of the throne. It says in the midst of the throne there stood a lamb as it had been slain. So when we see Jesus, we're going to see him in all of his glory, but we're going to still see the evidence of the cross. And when we see the prints and nails in his hand, and we see the place in his side, and if we're able to see those prints in his feet, our attention will immediately go back to this. I was responsible to tell people about that. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That's our responsibility. Christians, are we faithful ambassadors? We all need to ask that. And if you're not saved, let me tell you today, if you're not saved, you're an enemy of God because you haven't received yet his precious gift, the Lord Jesus. But if you will accept him as your personal Savior, today you can be reconciled. And when you walk out that door, you can say, I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ. What a privilege. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for Jesus, our Savior, and what he did for us. Lord, we know that someday we're going to give an account. And I know that I've been convicted by the message this morning. I pray that we all have. Help us to desire to hear you say, well done. Help us to major, Lord, on the biggest part of our job as an ambassador. And that is to tell people about Jesus. Help us to do that more and more effectively. And if there's somebody here not saved, help them today to turn in faith and trust Jesus so they can become a child of God, forgiven, made whole by you, and made an ambassador. We pray in Jesus' name.